Hey, I'm Jonathan Miller, and this is the Housing Helix Podcast. I'm a real estate appraiser, analyst, and blogger based in New York who is interested in pretty much anything related to housing with an analytical bent. The Housing Helix is the real estate conversation in long form with information, analysis, and commentary, as well as insights from housing-related experts that have something interesting to share. This episode and the entire podcast library are available as a free subscription through iTunes and at thehousinghelix.com. I hope you enjoy it. This is a brief recap of the Manhattan Townhouse Report, 2001 to 2010, and the Manhattan Market Report. Actually, it's been renamed the Douglas Elliman Report, Manhattan Edition, 2001 to 2010. Both reports are done for Prudential Douglas Elliman. I'll start first with the Townhouse Report. And actually, if you're listening to this and wondering, it's February, mid-February, and I released these things in January or a couple of weeks ago. With all the preparation and the gauntlet of reports that I do at the end of the quarter and then combine that with the year end, I overlooked that I didn't do the podcast. So thanks for bearing with me. The Townhouse Report, we look at a 10-year window, and I define townhouses for the purposes of this study as 1 to 5 family townhouses that can be delivered vacant. So we exclude anything with commercial space or retail at grade or occupied by statutory tenants, so rent-controlled, rent-stabilized tenants. We're really looking at property that, in Manhattan at least, their highest and best use tends to be towards eventual conversion to single family. So that is the focus of this report, and that's the way that I've done it for eons. And so when you look at the sort of the state of the townhouse market in 2010, we had a average sale price of about $5.5 million, 5.473, and price per square foot about $1,203 a foot. And the median price was $3,850,000. Now I rattle those numbers off because all of them are up anywhere from 8 to 13% over the average or the result of that we saw in 2009. And I don't want to characterize the townhouse market as seeing a rising prices from this increase in the aggregate numbers. What's counterintuitive is that over the same period, the average size of a townhouse actually didn't change all that much. It was hovering in the mid 5,000 or 4,000 square foot range. For 2010, the average square footage was 4,551 compared to 4,512 in 2009. And 4,565 in 2008. So really, over the last 3 years, the average size hasn't changed all that much. What really changed in the 2010 compared to 2009 wasn't a shift in the mix towards larger townhouses, because you can see the square footages are exactly or pretty much identical. What we saw, the big change was a shift in the mix towards single family residences. So the single family market share is up, is 51%, whereas historically it hovers in the high 30 to mid 40 percentile. So there's a shift in mix to one families. One families sell for much more on average than two families and 3 to 5 families. And for those of you that are wondering how why I break them out by 1, 2, and 3 to 5 family, is really based on their tax classification. That is the most practical way for me to break these properties out. And if you look at just for perspective in terms of this shift in the mix towards single families, the average sale price of a one family in 2010 was just under $7.1 million. The average for a two family was just about $3.8 million, and 3 to 5 family was just about $3.8 million. So the takeaway between of that is that we had more higher price properties move, and those were single families. The other interesting observation, at least from my perspective, is that in a strong market, meaning that there's rising prices and a tremendous amount of demand, you tend to see the multifamilies see greater price appreciation, relatively speaking, still lower prices, but a bigger increase in price simply because people are buying these properties on spec or buying them with this potential to convert. And you're seeing a compression of the difference between a finished single family and a 3-5 or a 2-family. And as a result, over the last decade, which has been a pretty robust decade for housing prices in general, and with townhouses, you look at single families on an average and median sale price basis, they both rose in the low 90 percentile. In other words, they almost doubled in price over the decade. If you look at the 3-5 family increase over the same period, the prices more than tripled. So we saw 239% increase in average price of 3-5 families. So the takeaway is that you're going to see, you would expect to see greater property appreciation of multifamilies that can be delivered vacant during periods of where inventory is tight, product is tight, and then sort of a reversion to single family or completed properties when the market is weaker. And I think that is exactly what we saw in the results of the 10-year report. Now, if we go over to the we look at the counter to this, which would be looking at apartments instead of townhouses. We prepare the 10-year study or 10-year view on co-ops and condos in Manhattan as well. And if you look at it sort of a comparison basis, the overall townhouse appreciation rate was generally higher than the 10-year period for co-ops and condos. And I think part of the reasoning for that is that the townhouse market is a very finite housing stock. In other words, new construction, and I'm not talking about something that was gut rehabbed, but something that was basically a vacant lot or a tear down to a vacant lot and new construction is not as well received. And therefore, the demand is for pre-war, or not pre-war, but turn of the century or older housing stock that is modernized on the interior. And so as a result, the footprint of residential townhouses hasn't expanded as much as the condo market. The condo market saw a tremendous influx of new development activity over the last 5 years, and that has served to perhaps keep the pace of appreciation, while certainly doubling, median sale prices essentially double for apartments compared to townhouses. Townhouses were up 115% over the decade, and in terms of median sale price, and apartments are up 105%, and all the metrics went up more on the townhouse than the apartments. But I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. So just getting back to the co-op and condo results, the median price for a Manhattan co-op and condo was $880,000 versus $430,000 the same in 2001. From a sales activity standpoint, sales, which I measure the annual number is the aggregate of the four quarterly reports that we release over the course of the year. Now, since releasing these reports within a day or two after the close of the quarter, there's certainly a lot more data that can fall in over the course of the year. In other words, something may have closed within the period, but it wasn't recorded and therefore doesn't show up in public record until a period after we've essentially closed our books for tracking a particular period in time. So not to confuse the issue, we simply take the 10-year as the aggregate. And we're at 10,060 sales for 2010 compared to 7,430. So we essentially saw a 35.4% increase from 09 to 10. So a couple of points of interest are that the sales activity in 2010 is the third highest level of activity of the decade. And last year, 2009, was the lowest. So we went from the low to the third highest. And the only 2 years that beat 2010 were the peak of the boom, which was 2007, 2008. So those periods, or rather 2006, 2007, and those periods reflected sort of this unusual, actually, I can't get it straight. What I mean to say is 2007, 2008 were the peak. Sorry about that. Too many numbers here, but 2007, 2008 were the peak years in terms of demand, with 2007 being by far the peak, about 30% more sales in 2007 than we had in 2010. So big difference between the peak. We're still off 30% from peak roughly. But you have to remember, and I think this is important for in the context of talking about the housing market, is that any comparison to the peak of the market, which was roughly 07, 08, is comparing to an anomaly. In other words, we are not in an anomaly now. I think we're closer to a normal level, although there's certainly a lot of other things that aren't normal. But the comparison against peak is not really something that should be done, because the peak was a result of sort of bizarre and rare occurrence of global sort of credit gone haywire that we're ultimately paying for now. So the takeaway is that sales activity over the last year is up sharply. It was up about the same amount on the townhouse market, 32% townhouses, 35% apartments. And we actually saw this kind of increase year over year across the region, and this was the byproduct of credit and consumer confidence. The other metrics that I think are sort of interesting relating to this is listing inventory. Listing inventory is virtually identical at 7,232. We ended up 2010 as what we saw a decade ago. So even with all this new product that came on the market, we're really looking at about the same level of inventory over the decade. And inventory did edge higher from 2009, up 5.6%. But the inventory increase from 2009 is not necessarily because the activity is weakening. It's because the 6,851 sale listings at the end of 2009 was at the end of this sort of downturn or reduction in inventory levels at the end of 09, because although we had much fewer sales in 2010, the lion's share of them occurred in the second half of the year. And that simply worked off excess inventory significantly. And then we're making a comparison against the end of 2009. And it doesn't suggest a weakness in activity, relatively speaking. In fact, if you look at the fourth quarter of 2009, in terms of sales activity, the sales activity at that period was the most heavily transaction-intensive, if there's such a phrase, quarter in the 25 years I've been tracking the housing market in Manhattan in terms of its share of sales relative to its respective year. So in other words, the fourth quarter of 2009 was the busiest quarter relative to the other quarters in each respective year going back 25 years. And as a result, we saw a reduction in inventory at the end of last year, and we're comparing year-end inventory to year-end inventory, and it shows a modest uptick. But from an historical standpoint, the current level of inventory, excluding, this does not include shadow, is very high or normal and not very high. And that is what is sort of keeping the housing market, I guess you could characterize it as relatively stabilized compared to where we were looking in 2009. Anyway, that's a brief recap of the 10-year townhouse report and the 10-year Douglas Elliman report, Manhattan edition, that we released a few weeks ago. And you can check out both of them online at elliman.com/market reports or on my company website, millersamuel.com/reports. Thanks for listening to the Housing Helix podcast.
That's it for this edition of the Housing Helix podcast. As always, you can send comments and recommend guests to my email address, jmiller@millersamuel.com. This episode and the entire podcast library are available as a free subscription through iTunes and at thehousinghelix.com. So until next time, I'm Jonathan Miller, and thanks for listening to the Housing Helix podcast.